The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Teaching meetings. And I told you on that Thursday that even though every program in church is important and we cannot undermine anyone, the most important and the most concern or meeting that should hold in a church should be teaching meetings. And I think I proved that to you a little on that day. But then today is still going to offer further proof in defense of that statement, that the most important and the most consistent meeting that should hold in a local church should be teaching meetings. So I gave an example. A local church should have teaching meetings, should have worship meetings, should have love feasts. All those kind of meetings should hold. But a church that holds love feast every Sunday is an unserious church. I get what I'm saying. So even though the Bible recommends different kind of meetings, the Bible does not recommend that the different kind of meetings we hold at the same frequency and with the same consistency. So teaching meetings, for instance, are the most important kind of meetings that should hold anywhere. Not because other meetings are not important, not because people things like prayer meetings are not important. It is even fact, even start with, to be able to effectively hold any other kind of meeting, you need to be taught on how to respond and how to even hold those meetings. So to be able to know how to, for instance, respond in a prayer meeting, you need to be taught. To be able to know how to respond in a worship meeting, we have to be taught. Lack of teaching is the reason why we don't even get blessed in meetings. Because to start with, even when we hold those our beloved worship concerts, we don't even get blessed. Because to start with, we don't even know the basic way to respond and to be blessed in such meetings. And so I took time to show you on that day that teaching meetings are so important. They are so important. And today I said I'll be sharing with you on the climax of knowledge. That is the height of knowledge. The highest form of knowledge you can ever have. Are you following me? The highest form of knowledge. And it's not, if you're a Bible student and your pastor says he wants to teach on the climax of knowledge, you already know what he wants to talk about. The highest and the greatest thing the believer must know, right, is the truth and the knowledge of Christ. I want to talk about that this morning. And how important that is. The knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ. Are you following me? And this is why, again, teaching meetings are so important. Because the knowledge of Christ is the most important knowledge anybody can have. And the easiest way that the knowledge of Christ is communicated is via teaching meetings. That is why you check your Bible. You will find out that there is, he was very smart. There is a consistent pattern of prayer that appeared in all the epistles from book to book. If you read every epistle, you must see this prayer show up. And that one prayer is the prayer for knowledge. Is that some verses will call it knowledge, other verses will call it revelation. Other verses will call it wisdom, but it all centers around the fact that the most important thing the believer needs, the most important knowledge he has to have, is the knowledge of Christ, actually. Let's start with that. If you read Ephesians 1 verse 17, for instance, Paul prayed for the Ephesian church. No, he didn't pray for them. He was telling them of the prayer he prays for them. Start from 16. He was informing them that he has been praying for them. And he was not giving them details of the prayer he prayed for them in his house. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. So you see, the content of his prayer for them is that they will have the knowledge of Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? So you might say, well, that's just the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church may need it. It doesn't mean all of us need it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul writes another letter to the Colossians. This one, this time, a different church. A different church. In a different country. The first one was in Ephesus. The other one was in, this one is in Colossae. And he's saying the same thing. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So again, this is not a prayer that Paul was praying for them in this letter. This is Paul informing them again of the prayer he prays for them at home. And look at the context of the prayer. I do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let me say this to you. The greatest need of the believer is not prosperity. The greatest need of a believer is not money. And the day this truth settles on you, the better for you. The greatest need of the believer is this. Now, if money or health, now I don't talk that one, money or on health. I preach prosperity. If you're angry with that, you're in the wrong church. Are you following me? Now, I don't talk that one, prosperity. But if prosperity is as important as the church that have made it look, Paul would have included a prayer for prosperity in all his letters. No, but he did not. But this very prayer for revelation is featured in all the prayers, in all his letters, in one word or the other. He said, I do not cease to pray for you. And my prayer is not that you might have money. As important as that is, my prayer is not for health. As important as perfect health is, my prayer is that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. And that's why knowledge is so important. And not any kind of knowledge. This knowledge of Christ I'm talking about. It is so important. It is so important. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Glory to God. He said, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Give me like New Living Translation of this. I love this verse very well. He said, I pray that you will overflow more and more. And you will, that your love will overflow more and more. And that you will keep growing in knowledge and understanding. And so it's amazing that the church of today, people run from place to place. And all they're looking for is possibly a miracle center. A prayer ground. But Paul is letting us know that the greatest thing he desires for all the churches is that they will grow in knowledge. So, I can tell you emphatically that the church of today is looking for the wrong thing. Are you following me? Looking for the wrong thing. The revelation of Christ is the biggest blessing any believer can ever have. It's the biggest blessing. More than health, more than even anointing. I tell people this. I spent an early part of my Christian life going from mountain to mountain saying, Father, give me power, give me power. But I can tell you this, if you spend time praying and seeking the knowledge of Christ, you will walk in so much power than he who goes around praying, Lord, give me power. To start with, praying, Lord, give me power is a clear proof that you need knowledge. I get what I'm saying. I'll say that again. Praying for God to give his anointing is the number one proof that you don't even have knowledge. The greatest need of the believer is revelation. Again, this is why teaching meetings are the most important, because this is the most important thing the believer needs. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about knowledge of everything. But people say, my people believe because of lack of knowledge. I've seen people do many stupid things with that particular statement. They think it's knowledge of chemistry, knowledge of physics, knowledge of football, knowledge of... Some people even teach African traditional religion and they say that's why we need knowledge. Now, that's crazy. The greatest knowledge that people will perish for lack of is knowledge of Christ. Philemon verse 6. Even in this epistle, this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. Now, this particular letter, I've shown you, he wrote to the Ephesian church, he prayed the same prayer. He wrote to the Colossian church, the same prayer. He wrote to the Philippian church. Now, he's writing not to a church, he's writing to an individual now. You know, I've given you the background of this letter of Philemon, right? He's writing to Philemon, now, an individual. And he's praying. Give me verse 5. Let's start from verse 5. He said, hearing of thy love and faith. Start from verse 4. I want to get the full picture. He said, I thank my God. So again, he's about to inform Philemon, again, of the prayer he prays for him. So it appears that Paul has the same prayer point for all the churches. How you guys get what I'm talking about? And if Paul has the same prayer point for churches, you better find out what that prayer point is. It must be very important. If Paul has the same desire for the Ephesian church, the same desire for the Philippian church, the same desire for the Colossian church, now he's writing to Philemon. I'm about to see the same thing. That means if Paul was to be your pastor today, he will have the same desire for you. Right? If Paul was to be your bishop today, he will have the same desire for you. And not just Paul. Every apostle. Look at this. I thank my God. Making mention of thee always. Not sometimes. Check out all the verses we've read. He always says always. Right? So this is not a prayer Paul prayed for these people once. He said, I make mention of thee always in my prayer. Verse 5. Hearing of thy faith. He said, I heard of your faith. And which thou have towards the Lord Jesus. And towards the church. I've heard of your faith. Because of this your faith I heard of. That's why I'm making mention of you always in my prayer. What is my prayer point for you? Verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. Maybe this is big English. So let us start from verse 4 with New Living Translation. With New Living Translation. Are you ready? Hallelujah. He said, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon. Because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus. So I keep hearing about these things. I keep hearing that you're doing well. So, you know, when Paul heard that a believer was doing so well, that he was loving people, he still prayed this prayer for him. So these prayers, you know, this is not something for young Christians. Neither is it something for older Christians. Because, for instance, when Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, and he told them, I pray that you might have revelation and knowledge and all of that. In that Ephesian church, just like our church, there were pastors there. There were ministers. There were younger believers. There were not so serious believers. Yet the same prayer point he prayed for all of them. Are you what I'm talking about? He said, I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. Verse 6. And I am praying that you will put into action, watch, the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things you have in Christ. So I'm praying that you do better as you come to understand. King James said, as you acknowledge every good thing. That word acknowledging in the King, if you check the Greek, is the word epignosis. That is to come to the full knowledge, to the full realization, that you understand what is working in Christ Jesus. And so every believer has one need. Are you following me? I pray I can be able to push this thing into you. Every believer has one need. That's why you observe every day we come to church here. Opening prayer. You must hear that prayer point. Have you observed that God will give you revelation? It's not just mere repetition. Every believer has one need. The major need of the believer is knowledge. And not just knowledge of life or knowledge of how to do sports. And if I let me even add this. Now, you have to understand what I'm going to say now. Not just knowledge of everything written in this Bible. Are you following me? Now, you need everything written in this Bible. But this kind of knowledge I'm talking about is not everything. Because by the time we get into it, you'll find out that this knowledge I'm talking about is the central message of this Bible. We're going to look at it very shortly. Are you following me? Because it's not just, it's not, in a, let me even add, you do not need, there are many teachings that you will never see me give attention to. I cannot possibly bring out 7 or 8 or maybe 2 months that I'm teaching on demonology. Demonology. What you must know about demons. Now, there are a few things you should know about demons. For instance, one of the things you must know about demons that are defeated. Second thing is that you can cast them out. That's enough to know. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, he says, we must know about demons. For instance, in the kingdom of darkness, there are 14 levels. Let me tell you as your pastor, I don't know those things. I don't know about any level in the kingdom of darkness. I actually don't care. I don't know how witches operate. I actually don't care. Those are not deeper realms. Those are very shallow realms. Are you what I'm saying now? If it turns out the operation of demons, you're a very shallow person. The deepest you can go in revelation is to know about Christ. The highest you can climb in revelation is to know the revelation of Christ. So you want to know, so when demons operate, that is the cosmic forces. Cosmic kill you there. I don't need all those things. I don't care about all those things. Cosmic or no cosmic, in the name of Jesus, get out of that place. And they move. So what's the point? What's the point? Are you following me? Let me add, as important as relationship teaching is, that's not the most important thing a believer needs. As a matter of fact, if a believer learns Christ as he should, he needs very little of relationship teaching. In fact, the only teaching, relationship in the believer needs when he learns Christ is how to apply that his knowledge of Christ to his relationship. That's all. Are you what I'm saying? That's why you cannot see me here do a series on breaking generational curses. Now, do I believe that there are curses? You better believe there are. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't believe there are, well, you might be under a curse. That's why I don't believe there are curses. There are curses. You know, one of the greatest things the devil does to people is to convince them that he doesn't exist. And if the devil convinces you that he doesn't exist, it means you're actually under his power. That's why you believe he doesn't exist. You know, when you believe he doesn't exist, you just leave him. He just, I don't pray against him if he doesn't exist. And that's why you're under his power. So there are causes. But hey, you can't find me running a full series how to identify generational causes. I can do a teaching on generational causes. The end point is that they will be broken in the name of Jesus. Now, you do not need to know the details, the operations, the fundamentals, the intricacies of generational causes. You don't need it. And you know, that's why sometimes people come around us, they feel we don't know many things. And we wear it with honor. We don't know many things. We just know one thing. Paul put it this way, said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him. No, I don't want to know generational curses. I want to know him. Now, do I need to talk about generational curses? Well, I do. As I carry out my ministry, I see people who are cursed and I set them free. You get the point. I know. Do I need to talk about a few things? I do. But there is nothing I seek to know. The climax of every knowledge is to know who Jesus is. There are three things. When I talk about the knowledge of Christ, I can classify them into three. Number one, who is Jesus? Who is Christ? Or let me put it away. You must know who Christ is. That's the first. What do you mean by the knowledge of Christ? One, who Christ is. Secondly, what he has done on the cross. Thirdly, who you are in him and what you have in him. If I can add, what you can become in him. Are you getting the point? So we are looking at, when we talk about all this knowledge of Christ, get this board closer. Let me just put this on the board. If we talk about knowledge of Christ, we are not talking about knowing how to shout Jesus, 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 superpower, superpower. No, that's not it. There are three basic things that you must know. Just move it. Okay. I don't know if they can see it. Okay, three basic things you must know. Can you see it? It's fine. Who is Christ? Number two, you must know what he has done. Emphasis on has, not what he will do. Then there is who you are. Who you are in him. If you find out these three things, as you grow your knowledge of these three things, you are getting deeper and deeper as you can get. So, you notice, Jesus met Peter. Matthew 16 verse 13. Let me show you that. Matthew 16 verse 13. He got to a place and, you know, verse 13. Where Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now he's asking them about this very first point I made here. Who are people saying I am? They've seen me work miracles. They've seen me cast out devils. They've seen me multiply bread for them. Who do they actually think I am? Because it's not about the miracles. It's about what you know about me. Are you following me? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Some say Jeremiah. Others, one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. That word the Christ means Messiah. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, you would have thought, I've got to come to this, maybe not today. But you would have thought that this is a very simple answer. Jesus is the Christ. But the answer so much excited Jesus. Look at him in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. I thought that was a very simple answer. You are just the Christ. Who doesn't know you are the Christ? Now, this was not just a statement that Peter made. Peter was beginning to understand the first levels of revelation. He has found out that, okay, this is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is heaven. Now, verse 18 is key. Watch. And I saw unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. People normally say that Peter was the rock upon which the church was built. That can never be farther away from the truth. That is so far from the truth that it cannot be farther than that. Jesus did not build this church on Peter. If not, Peter is dead. It means the rock on which the church was built on has died. What he was referring to here was that answer Peter gave him. That revelation Peter gave. He said, upon this rock, that revelation of you are Christ, Son of the living God, said, it's upon this rock I'll build my church. So the revelation of Christ, the truth about Christ and who he is the foundation, the rock upon which the church was founded. I get what I'm saying? And so this is the first stage. You begin to know who Christ is. I didn't say, I don't know if I'm just playing with words. I didn't say who Jesus is. I say who Christ is. He says, it's not the same person. Well, it's the same person. But you know, Jesus, anybody can answer Jesus. Nobody can answer Christ. Because Christ means Messiah. It means Savior. I get the point. Christ talks about his assignment. He talks about who he is in redemption. So he said, you are Christ, Son of the living. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And so, as you begin to understand what Christ has done, who he is, for instance, the fact that he's a Savior, he's our Messiah, he's the one that was sent to pay for our sins. That's what Peter was saying in that statement. You are Christ. You are not just Jesus. You are not Prophet Jesus. You are the Christ. Christ is not somebody's name. The word Christ is descriptive. He's talking about a function. You are the Christ. You are the one that will pay for sins. You are the one that will forgive sins. You are the one that will be given for the sins of the world. So he was describing what Jesus will do. Jesus said, it's upon this revelation you are sharing now that I'll build my church. That's why the church was founded on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. Or that Jesus is the Savior. Or that Jesus paid for sins. Are you what I'm talking about? That's the foundation. Now, if this is still confusing you, well, at this point, that's the point that should confuse you. Now, if it's still confusing you, the question is, have you been going to church for a very long time, and what have you been learning in church? Because that's the first thing. It's really interesting to know that many people don't actually know who Jesus is. I mean, they don't even know him as Savior. What I mean is, many are in church, but are not even born again. They've had cars. Did you observe the people that... Oh, thank you, Jesus. When Jesus asked who the people say I am, none of them say something bad about him. I get him. They didn't say he was a bad person. They said good things. Prophet, Elijah, Jeremiah. They knew he was a good person, a great person, but they didn't know who he was really. Why did they call him Prophet Elijah? Come on, he was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. Why did they call him all these people? He was doing mighty things. So these guys
they were not ignorant of Jesus' mighty power, but they were ignorant of who he is. I get the point. That's what I'm talking about, the climax of revelation. Jesus knew, well, I know you guys know I'm powerful. I know you guys even think I'm Elijah because, come on, I've done bigger things than Elijah. These guys saw Jesus multiply bread and he fed people. So they knew his power. They didn't know him. And that's why the first thing you must begin to know as a Christian is the revelation of the Christ. Who is he? The second thing is what he has done. What he has done on the cross. These three revelations, we round them up as having the revelation of Christ. But then breaking them down, we must know who Christ is. We must know what he has done. What has he done? For instance, I can give you an example. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, the Bible said God made him to be sin, who knew no sin. So he became sin for us, that we might become righteous. That is what he has done. He paid for our sins. He forgave our sins. So first you have to know who he is. Who he is talks about his assignment, what he has come to do. Number two, you need to know what he has done, how he has accomplished that assignment. That is, he paid for our sins, he made us righteous, he forgave our sins, he made us holy. What has he done? Let me say this to you. If you do not know what Christ has done for you on the cross, you are actually not a growing Christian. I'm still going to come to that. As simple as that. You actually don't know anything. Do you know, for instance, that one of the things that, you know, I talked about knowing Jesus being the highest. One of the things God has done for us in Christ, I give an example, is that we are seated with him now. That's Ephesians 2 verse 6. Far above all principalities and powers. Now, that simple statement, knowing what Christ has done, that simple statement, knowing that we are seated with Christ, means that devils and the highest level of demons are way below you. This revelation can make you send 2 million devils out with a snap of your finger. Without knowing it, you can be on the mountain praying for 28 days. I get what I'm talking about. What has he done? You need to know it. You must know what he has done. You must know what he has done. So, what I normally tell people, I said, before you begin to ask God for what he will do for you, find out what he has done. Because we are so bothered about what Jesus will do. Father, give me a car. Give me a job. My expectation today in service is that you give me a husband. What I'm expecting today is that you give me visa. My good expectation. But before you are consumed about what he will do, what of the one he has done? Do you know it? He has paid for your sins. Yes. Bible said God made him who knew no sin to become sin. That's divine exchange. He became sin. You must know what he has done. So when we begin to teach about new creation realities, what Jesus has done, don't think we're wasting our time. That is the greatest thing you need to know. Greatest thing. Let me tell you this story. When I'm talking about what Jesus has done, if you don't know what Jesus has done, Satan can mess you up. Are you following me? I mean, let me say this to you. Even as a prayer warrior, and you don't know what Jesus has done for you on the cross, you will still be a mess. I've shared this story with you guys before. Now, I'm not sharing this story to condone sin. Sin is bad. But I'm going to tell this story. So this sister, serious believer, preaching all over the place. And so the day I saw her, she was wearing wig. Because I've not seen her for a very long time. So when I saw her, she was wearing wig. So you know why I gave you this detail as we progress. So she committed sin. Right? You know the sin. She committed sin. So, she felt so bad and so sorry for her sin that she told God, to show you that I'm serious and I'm sorry, I'm going to go around all the class in my school preaching the gospel and to promise you that I won't do it again.
So she went around the class preaching. You know, somebody would have said, wow, such a heart. Now you know. So she preached around and committed the sin again. She did something else. By the time she committed the sin again and again, she told God to tell you that I'm serious. I'm going to, I think I'm right, use my knee to climb one, you know, I'll pray crawling with my knee to a certain distance to show you, Lord, that I'm serious. She did that. She committed it again. This time, the thing has overtaken. She now told God, I'm sorry, if I have it, will I convince you? She cut her hair. Scraped it, mala. She became bald. And did it again. Even with mala. So it was when that one now happened that she now came to see me. So when she got to this part of the story, she says, I'm not joking. She put up her wig. Wow. I say, hey, you look scary, my dear. You know the problem? We don't know what Christ has done. This lady was trying to earn her forgiveness. You know, there are simple things. This thing I'm sharing with you, I know people, I don't know now, but I've known people who are in the hospitals because they don't know what Christ has done. They're in the hospital, they believe they've committed sin, and that God is punishing them for their sin. And that's why they believe that they should be sick. Simple knowledge of the forgiveness you have in Christ can set you free. If that lady found out what Christ has done and took some more lessons on who she is in Christ, she'll be out of that sin faster. I follow what I'm saying. The greatest point of revelation is to know who you are in Christ. That's why I've gone past trying to sound deep for people. I'm deep enough. So the second part, what Christ has done. The third part of that, of the revelation of Christ, is who you are in Him. So look at what we are teaching. First, you must know who is Christ. That talks about, what is his assignment? What has he come to do? He came to pay for sins. What has he done? Then the second part, you find out, what has he done? That is, how has he accomplished that assignment that he came to do? Then the third part is, who are you now because of that assignment he did? Now, how has that thing he has done affected you? What does it mean to you? Are you following me? What has happened to you now that he has died on the cross? What is now your reality? Now that he has paid for sins, all the things we said we have done, it's like asking, how does it concern me? Okay, he died for sin. What is my business with that? You must know that too. That's where you now begin to find out what you have in him. Because there's something he has given you, you need to find out. There's something he has made, you need to find out. There's something you have become, you need to find out. There is something that is now available to you because he died and rose again. You need to find out. You know, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 tells us, you know, about, but I like that verse, but I need it with NLT. Read it with me, everybody. Are you ready? Read. We have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely. So there are many wonderful things God has given us. We need to know it. That's the third part of this revelation. You need to know what he has made available for you. You need to know what he has given you. Many don't know. That scripture we read, Philemon verse 6, tells us that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How will that happen? By the acknowledging of every good thing that is in Christ. As you begin to know the things that he has given you in Christ Jesus, that's how your faith can become more effectual. And that's what, that this is, you must know who Christ is. You must know what he has done. You must know who you are now in him. Part of who you are in him, for instance, is that he has accepted you. That's one example. Do you know this knowledge of God has accepted me can cure 10 million people from depression at once? Many people are depressed because they feel that they've sinned too much and their life is just a mess. If I put them under 10 minutes of this revelation, all those therapy that are going for, they'll be fine.
I know what I'm talking about.
I'm just telling you. Was that happy that I'm trying to tell you? Just look at yourself. Tell yourself, I'm accepted. Nobody can reject me. Well, you're just entertaining yourself. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just telling you. You're trying to convince yourself. But I can prove to you through God's word that because of Christ's death and your acceptance of that death, God, the ultimate, can never reject you again. That alone is comforting. Have you found out that people who don't feel loved, once someone that is that they respect and they love begin to show them love, they begin to feel loved. That's the same thing the love of Jesus does to people that are depressed. Simple. Once they find out that God really loves them, he's not throwing them away. It can fix everything. But how will they know where the only thing they want is they want the latest Jeep in town? That's the only thing that bothers them. Listen, you need to know. Let me talk about money. You see this money you're looking for. If you understand this thing I showed you. For instance, who are you in Christ? What do you have in Christ? One of the things that God gave us in him is that he gave us his name. That thing called the name of Jesus. That thing called the name of Jesus can fix any financial situation in the world. So if I empower you with knowledge of that name, teach you faith. Faith is also part of what you have in Christ. Teach you that faith. You understand it. You can start before a business. Others are doing the same thing you are doing. You are prospering more than them. But it's not just because it's in the Bible. It's because you know it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, revelation of who you are in Christ. Do you know, for instance, who you are in Christ is that the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. And that means he talks to you. That alone is one reason you should never be confused in life. This simple fact I gave you can make you a billionaire. I'm not joking. It's a how. The fact that there are three businesses to invest in. You just have to do shabregadele bregadega. And the Lord said, don't put your money here. Put your money here. You put your money here. This one will pay. Brother Hagin said that the Lord told him, if you follow the inward witness, I will make you rich. And boy, the man was rich. And he said the only solution was, when there is a business deal, he said you can't rush him. He will just contact that spirit within him. He said, don't worry, we're not putting our money there. Leave it. I get what I'm saying. Now, this is what every believer has, but we don't even know. You know why? Because we are looking from place to place, looking for prophet that will call our name. Like you don't know your name. So, are you against calling people's name? I'm not. If I find out your name, I'll call it. I'm not against it at all. But we must know. In fact, that prophet calling your name, let me even shock you. If he's genuine and he's hearing those things from God, he's able to call your name because he knows who he is in Christ. He knows that God has given him the Holy Ghost. He knows that God speaks to him. That thing he knows is why he's calling your name. If you know the same thing he knows, you will do the same thing he's doing. At the end of the day, the greatest need of the believer is not cast. That's why we call teaching meetings. People come and are wondering, this man is not even powerful. I thought that was a powerful man of God. But if I was coming from this, then I was some assaulting as I was coming inside. Some assaulting, shambra, and just, you guys that said, man, see power. Then I will dance a little in front of this place. And you go home with excitement, sometimes with answers. But look at the point. If I pray for you and you get healed, you just got healed. You did not get healing from 200 diseases. You got healed from one sickness. I wonder why we come back tomorrow. But if I teach you who you are in Christ, for instance, teach you about the fact that God has given you a name, any day, any sickness shows up, you will deal with it. So I'm not against power demonstration. I have some of it. A lot of it. Do you understand? And as those of us will go demonstrate a lot. But we will give a lot of time to teaching you who Christ is, what he has done, and what you have in him, who you are in him. That's the greatest need you have. You are not just aware that that's what you need. You think you need car, you think you need money, you think you need all of those things. But I'm telling you, this one is what you need. It's what you need. That's knowledge is so powerful. I told you guys, when I struggled at a time financially, for a very long time, because I know some of you like money, so I like giving this money example. When I struggled financially so much that I couldn't even pay for house, lived on the street and all of that. That is not figure of speech. Literally. So, and all of that. What set me free? I was praying. The Lord said, get your Bible. Learn about my provision. I took my Bible. I went from the Old Testament. I took note of everywhere God worked the miracle of provision. Now, take note, I already know who I am in Christ. I know the faith of God that works inside of me. All I was doing in learning this was to apply what I already know about what God has done for me. For months, I was on that study. I would learn it. I would pray. I would declare it. I would learn it. Now, for long, nothing changed. But let me tell you what knowledge does. Knowledge changes you on the inside before it comes to your outside. Knowledge readjusts something in your heart. Someone is struggling with sin. He has gone for deliverance. They say, I will need to deliver you. We need to deliver you. Spirit of stealing. Out, out, out. When they finish, you even steal the man's anointing oil. As I leave it up, you just see the anointing oil and you tip it. You go for another deliverance. Out, out. You know the reason? You do not cast out sin. It's not a demon. You just need to find out what Christ has done to sin. Who you are now in Christ. As you find that thing out and you get rooted in that knowledge, that sin will leave. You will deal with it. The climax of knowledge that I'm showing you. And let me say this. I know I wanted to say this at the end, but I just felt the Lord saying I should talk about this now. Let me say this to you. This knowledge is not what you learn and say, I've known it. Because somebody might be hearing me and feeling so, Pastor, I say you already have the climax of knowledge. That's what I'm saying. It's a continuous knowledge. And I'll tell you why. It's not something you just say, I've known it. Cyberity, you've explained, I know it. I know what Christ has done. He has that person. I know who he is. He's our Savior. I know who I am in him. I'm righteous. That's not it. This knowledge is continuous. And let me tell you why it is continuous. It is continuous because the thing that God has provided for us in Christ Jesus, you cannot exhaust it in one lifetime. Scratch that. You can't exhaust knowing it in five lifetimes. I get what I'm saying. I'll say that again. The thing God has done for us in Christ, you cannot exhaust knowing it in one lifetime. You can't. That's why it's something you must keep knowing. The more you know it, the better you become. You know, the Bible talks about in Ephesians 3 verse 8. I love that scripture so much. Ephesians 3 verse 8. He said, unto me, this is Paul talking, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. What is he preaching among the Gentiles? Read with me. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Give me New Living Translation. He just said unsearchable. He said, now what did NLT call it? The endless treasures available to us in Christ. So it is endless. You can't exhaust it. That's why you keep learning it. When you think you know, you keep knowing. And the more you know, the stronger you become. Give me Message Bible. Message Bible. Message said, he said, and so here I am, that's the end part, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head. The inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. Give me Amplified Classic. I like that one. It blessed me last night. He said, to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ. That is wealth which no human being could have searched out. So it's not something you just sit down with one teacher and say, I know it, I got it. You don't got it, my dear. You keep getting it. Look at that. It's boundless, fathomless. You know what is calculable? If you get your calculator and start pressing it, it will spoil your calculator. It is exhaustless. In other words, you can never, if you have 10 lifetimes and you spend each minute in those 10 lifetimes learning about what Christ has done, you still not finish learning it. So the question is, what is deeper than that? Why are we trying to look for portals? We are trying to look for realms. We are trying to look for dimensions. We are trying to look for what are all those things you are saying? You want to ascend. What is higher than this? Paul is saying there is something he wants to tell you that you can never exhaust in one lifetime. And you are looking for something else. Find out what Christ has done. Find out who you are in Him. Find out what He has given you in Christ Jesus. Find out what is available for you. Your life will change. Do you know there is something we call, listen to what I'm going to say. And if you practice what I'm going to say, I may emphasize this as a trace of fact. If you practice, your life will change. There's something we call the Pauline prayers. The Pauline prayers are a list of all these prayers that Paul prayed for the churches. All of them, most of them are centered around Revelation. Every man of God, I am also a witness to that. Even this morning, I prayed it. I pray it every day. But Egan said many years ago, the Lord told him to begin to pray those Pauline prayers every day. That was what changed his life, his ministry, everything. Because all those prayers are centered around Revelation, around knowledge. Revelation knowledge. And that's why, because they are just much. And if you are doubting that they are too much, it's not just that Paul is saying, if you open your Bible and you study your Bible every day, you will get to the point you'll be wondering, have I read this Bible before? Look at this. Amazing. Sometimes what you're studying is Christ's righteousness. Do you know the depth of the righteousness we have in Christ? Think of studying God's love. Do you know the depth? Bible says that you may know the width, the length, the breadth, the depth. You can't exhaust it. As you keep learning it, that is what it means to truly grow spiritually. Because I'll give you like three things that this knowledge of Christ will do for you. I'll give you number one. Spiritual growth. If you want to experience true spiritual growth, find out who you are in Christ. As you are learning who you are in Christ, that is the true definition of spiritual growth. It will make sure you are growing. Look at that Philemon verse 6 again. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in Christ. Now, take note of that word, acknowledging. What Paul is saying is that your faith will become more effective when you begin to know the things that God has given you in Christ. That's what makes your faith effective. That's what makes an effective Christian, as you begin to know. I've written many books. But one of the books I count very important that I've written is Race of Fact. Have you read that book? That book is one place I took a lot of time. Of course, all my books, you must find who you are in Christ littered here and there. But in that book, I took time to understand it. If you read Race of Facts and digest it, if you read it three times, that's the power of revelation. If you read that book three times, you'll be wowed three times. If you read it 20 times, you'll be wowed 20 times. And I'm not marketing the book because it's not even for sale. We share it for free, so it's not marketing. But I'm just trying to tell you how much that if you are learning about who you are in Christ, you can never exhaust it. Even when you think you've known it, when you look at it again, you find out you don't know anything. Then you look a third time, you find out you've not read it before. You look a fourth time, you find out you're very ignorant. You look a fifth time, you get wild. By the tenth time, you are crying at your ignorance. You just keep looking. You just keep looking. It's inexhaustible. It ensures that you are growing spiritually. Imagine someone that has learnt about his forgiveness and learnt about the power that Jesus has given him over sin. Sin will stop dealing with that one. For instance, in 2 Peter 1, I'll be quoting Paul. Someone says it's only Paul, you people know. In 2 Peter 1, let me quote Peter. In 2 Peter 1, verse 5, Peter said, and besides this, watch this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Let's count. What are the things you add to your, add what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. So he listed these things. These are the things that you need to add to yourself at different times. But look at this. Look at verse 8. He said, for if these things be in you, that is, if all these things he has listed are in you, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if all these things are in you, they are the things that will make you fruitful in your knowledge of Christ. If you have faith, you have patience, you have... I get what I'm saying. Now, look at verse 9. He now said, but he that lacketh these things, he that lacketh which things? All these things he listed, right? Is blind. So his problem is blindness. So listen. He didn't say he that lacketh this thing is empty. He's saying any believer that thinks he lacks this thing is suffering from blindness. Not that he actually lacks them, but he's blind to see that he has them. Now, he's blind and cannot see afar off. What is his problem? He had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So it is forgetting what God has done for you that will make you lack all those things he listed. In other words, as you begin to learn and become aware of the fact that Jesus has purged through your sins, all those things he listed will be working in your life. Because true spiritual growth is learning what Christ has done for you and who you are in him. So not having faith, all of these things and what have you in your life, is not actually that you are empty. It is that you are blind. Which is why teaching, knowledge of Christ is the biggest thing you need. So I would have thought Paul would say, if you lack, or Peter rather would say, if you lack these things, go and begin to pray and contend that God will give you patience. Go and pray and contend that God will give you love. He said, if you lack it, they are just blind. Let me give an example with love. Just you mentioned brotherly kindness, charity. A believer who is not walking in love does not lack love. He has not actually had the revelation of the love that Jesus has towards him. If he's taught on who God is and how God has loved him, naturally he too will begin to love others. It's a simple formula. Are you guys what I'm talking about? So what keeps you spiritually is not actually, of course, prayer is important, everything is important. But let me add this. Let me say this. It is not every knowledge you need to grow spiritually. Knowledge of the seven cosmic forces cannot help you grow spiritually. Are they seven? If you know, I'll be surprised. That's why you look at me. I was born a very inquisitive person. I like knowing things. Like, apart from Bible, I like knowing things. I've read some dangerous books that if I tell you, self will run. Why? I was looking for what is not lost. Until I came across authors like E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon particularly. E.W. Kenyon was my turning point in doctrine. That book, What Happened from the Cross to the Throne. That was, you know, there are many Bible people that teach grace and what. That man, when I meet him in heaven, I'm going to say, you altered my life. I saw what happened from the cross. The man talked about what happened when Jesus died. What I was just reading. I just knew at that moment that I did not need all those things I was reading. If you come to my house, you will not see any of those books. Destroyed, bombed. I don't need them. I know what I'm looking for. That book made me cry. It's not like cry in my heart. I say, if you look at knowledge, you cry at your foolishness. I cried at all the messages that I've been preaching for long. When I read that book, when I was already a preacher. People try. People that follow me that time, people try. If I preach to you, you will be blessed. That time. If I preach what is in my heart to you, you will be sure you will not go to heaven. You will be so sure that God hates you. If I hit you, but it's W. Kenyon. When I read it, I just knew that spiritual growth is about to start. So when I devoured what happened from the cross to the throne, I went for two kinds of righteousness. After I did that, I got blood covenant. After I did that, father and his family. New creation. Then as I was just devouring that, I met Joseph Prince. I got destined to reign. No, the first was unmerited favor. Read that. Read Destined to Reign. Read the Power of Right Believing. Met Andrew Womack. There are people that will teach you what you have in Christ. Every book in the market is not for you. You don't need many things. You just need very few things in your life. That's why spiritual growth is not to grow wide, is to grow deep. It's not to know many things. It is to know one thing very deeply. It's to know. That's why when I teach you on prayer, I teach from this standpoint what Christ has done. That's why you can never hear me say things like, if you are not praying, you will go to hell. That's not correct. You can never hear me say things like, if you are not praying, Satan is now on top of you. That's still not correct. Prayer does not make the believer to be above the devil. The believer, natural, the sleeping believer is above the devil. You know what I said? I mean, the sleeping believer. What does prayer do? Prayer will now help you. If prayer is just a way, you are maximizing the power you have. That's all. It's like gone. Everybody has, now imagine everybody, not everybody, imagine all of us have gone. You have gone. Right? The gun, in the gun, there is a part called the trigger. Now, when you hold that gun, whether you pull the trigger or not, you have a gun. Pulling the trigger is not what gives you a gun. Pulling the trigger just engages the gun. Prayer is the way we pull the trigger. Prayer is the way we engage the power we have. Not the way we have it, you get it. We don't get power by prayer. We engage power by prayer. So even when I teach you prayer, when I teach you soul winning, I will teach all of them from that standpoint of what Christ has done, because that's the only thing you need. When I teach you conduct, and I say you must live right, I cannot possibly tell you that if you don't live right, God will hate you, he will throw you away, he will turn his back at you. That is a lie. God will not do that. Because even your biological father does not throw you away when you sin. Yeah. So what will sin do to you? Sin will mess with your own conscience. So much so that you are the one that will begin to run away from God. So sin will not pursue God from you. God loves you. If sin will pursue God from you, then he shouldn't have died for you. He died for you when you were your full sin. But sin will mess with you. So I teach everything, but I will teach it from the standpoint of what Christ has done. If I'm going to teach you on courses, I will not be telling you how to know you're under course, and if you want to break the course, you bring salt, you bring pepper. No. The simple way to break the course is to find out that when Jesus died on the cross, he gave you power, he gave you authority, he gave you his name, and you can just engage that name and every course will be broken. So I'm not saying, when I say we are teaching what Christ has done, I'm not saying that our topic every Sunday will be what Jesus has done. That won't be our topic every Sunday. But anything we teach you, whether we're teaching character, whether we're teaching anything, we're teaching from that standpoint of what Christ has done. Do you know, even when we teach you relationship, when we teach you marriage, we also teach on the point of what Christ has done. How do we teach marriage here? People that have been to our marriage class, what do we teach you is simply, the model marriage is Christ and the church. The same way that Jesus came and sacrificed to get the church his bride, you as a man must love your bride that same way. This, I guess what I'm talking about. That's what we teach. So that revelation of Christ is the foundation. So first, it guarantees your spiritual growth. I mentioned Ephesians 4, verse 13. Give it to me. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Give me NLT. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at this. This will continue until, look at what God wants. Until we come to such unity of our faith. What is that unity of our faith? Knowledge of God's Son. That will be mature in the Lord. So what makes you mature in the Lord is the knowledge of God's Son. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ is that knowledge of the Son. That knowledge of the Son. Verse 14 now said that will no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You need to know the Lord. You need to know Jesus. You need to know what he has done. Yes, Resophat is coming. This is why I'm preparing you for Resophat, to tell you to attend that meeting because it's a teaching meeting. But beyond preparing you for Resophat, this is supposed to let you see and know what you should pursue in life.
I said, first is to ensure spiritual growth. Second thing it will do for you, it will help your conduct. I don't have time to look at all of this today. It will help your conduct. If you begin to learn what Christ has done and who you are in Him, your conduct will readjust. Give me that Colossians 1 verse 9 that we read earlier. Colossians 1 verse 9. Oh, give me NLT because of our time. Everybody please watch this. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God, watch this, to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. What will this do to you in verse 10? Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. So that knowledge, when you have it, it will make your life pleasing to the Lord. It will always honor and please the Lord, and your life will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. So you want your life to begin to produce good fruits. Throw yourself into the knowledge of who God is, what He has done for you, who you are in Him. That's why wise parents, when they want to counsel their children, they counsel their children from the point of identity. They always say things like, you know the family you are coming from. Have I ever told you that? Hope you know the family you are coming from. We are not play people. We are not stupid people. Don't go and disgrace us. You know what I'm trying to tell you? They're trying to remind you your identity and asking you to live up to that identity. And that's what God does. God wants you to live right. You know how He wants you to live right? He wants you to live right by constantly reminding you of your identity. Remind you that He has made you righteous. Remind you that He has made you holy. Remind you that He has accepted you. As He keeps reminding you, the knowledge of that identity will now make you readjust. Oh, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, when Paul was teaching the church. Now, this is a very clear case I like quoting all the time when I teach on this. Because he was talking about fornication. And fornication is serious. Fornication is not a play sin. And this time it wasn't just, Paul wasn't teaching here. He was correcting. Because there was a real case. And the case he was dealing with in chapter 5 that led up to this conversation was that a particular brother was having his father's wife. A particular brother, the father had many wives. He took one for himself. And he was a believer. You know, when people say this, like, I can never go to church again. Church have spoiled. Bad things happen in church. Bad things have always been happening in church. Because church is a place where human beings are. Human being took his father's wife. And they were attending church together. Sometimes they will sew uniform. Chilling with my father's babe. That is like sleeping with your mother. Stepmother. There is still mother inside. So Paul was addressing this. I thought, of course, there are many things he said. In chapter 5, he told them they are going to have to discipline that brother. They told him they have to send that brother away. Have to discipline so that he will learn. He now took that opportunity to begin to talk about fornication and all this. Now look at what he said about fornication. Simply watch. He said, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. So he began to tell them why they should not indulge in the sin. Now look at how he challenged the teaching. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Now I always like to show you this. Paul did not tell them that they should stop committing fornication so that their body will become temple of the Holy Ghost. That's not what he said. He said, don't you know that you are? So he was trying to show them that they are. He wasn't about to tell them that they will stop being. He was saying that because they are, they should flee fornication. Because you're not your own. So how God helps us to live free from sin is to bring to us the revelation of who we are. So Paul was telling them, you are not ordinary. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So because of that, stop doing this. Stop doing this. Who you are. Praise God. You know, let's give this example. If you wake up tomorrow, which boy am I going to use now? And you see maybe Newell. I'm calling Newell because he has beers. Imagine Newell walks into church on Thursday. Days of fast Sunday. Days of Thursday with a sharp gown. Sharp. Stand on Sunday, we'll see. Imagine him now. Wearing a very sharp pinot gown with heel. Why are you laughing? Will you try that? Imagine that. I'm just saying this for a reason. And you are in the position to advise Noel. What will you tell him? Stop by beating him. Why are you beating him? Is it because, now see what I'm trying to show you. Is it because if he keeps dressing like that, he will now develop breast and become a woman? Is that it? Nothing he does will ever make him become a woman. However, you will be angry with that because he is a man dressing like a woman. So you will counsel him from the point of identity. Don't you know that you're a man? How can you be dressing this way? That's how God corrects us. So you will not possibly tell Noel, if you keep dressing this way, one day you become a woman. That doesn't make any sense. That's why God doesn't meet you and say, if you continue like this, one day I'll throw you away. He doesn't talk like that. But he's going to keep insisting, tell you, don't you know you are my child? My child doesn't dress like this. My child doesn't talk like this. My children don't think this way. My children don't do this like this. He will keep reminding you. That's why your highest revelation that will help you walk in proper conduct is who you are in Christ. If you keep knowing it, there are things you begin to cut off from yourself. Sometimes you just look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is me, child of God, righteous in Christ, holy, sanctified, accepted in the beloved, and I'm carrying woman. You yourself who are just. Are you following me? You have addiction, drugs, and smoke. The next time it comes, just stand up and say to yourself, I'm no longer that person anymore. Don't say it to your heart, say it to yourself. I'm different now. The life of God is now working in me. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm no longer a sinner. Sin does not have dominion over me. Sin has no power over me anymore. This not, as you keep knowing this thing, suddenly you begin to find out that appetite for that thing will start dying. It's identity. You want to grow spiritually? Know who you are in Christ. You want to deal with sin? You want to have better conduct? Know who you are in Christ. Stand the way that you're standing. You want the third thing this knowledge will do for you is that it will give you victory. I'll stop there. Victory in life and over the devil. You want to enjoy victory in your finances, in your health? Know who you are in Christ. Know it. You know, when Peter gave that revelation in Matthew 16, in verse 18, Jesus told him, you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And in verse 19, he told him, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth, because of that revelation, and God said, that revelation is actually a key. If you know who you are in Christ, is a key. Now, whatever you bind in heaven, on earth shall be bound in heaven. Knowing who you are in Christ, it gives you victory over life. Things are falling apart, you just know what to touch. Because I know who I am in Christ. I'm not the one that will be under. Because I know who I am in Christ. Listen, what made the disciples strong was Jesus teaching them who they were. When he rose from the dead, as I was showing you on Thursday, they had gone back, they had forgotten who they were. Jesus took them on a 40-day teaching. What was in that teaching? He was reminding them. In Luke 24, verse 25, he told them, O fools and slow of hearts, to believe what the prophets have spoken. The Bible said, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he kept telling them who he is. Now, that was what made those guys strong. Result of fact is coming on Thursday. One of your greatest expectations is further revelation knowledge. Let me understand more and more who I am in you. Let me understand more and more what you have done. You said it is unsearchable. You said it is inexhaustible. Let me understand some more. It means there is a lot more I don't know. Let me understand some more. Some more. But I tell you, so far there will be revelation knowledge. We're going to teach. Yes, we're going to teach for some minutes, for some hours. You come with expectation. Because what we are going to army you with in those 4 days can crush any challenge on your way. Can crush cancer.
can crush any issue on your way. Any addiction, it will bring it down. You know, when you are praying without revelation knowledge, and when you are praying with knowledge, it's different. One is like you are just shooting without aiming. But when you pray with revelation knowledge, you are aiming and you are getting the thing right. Are you getting the point? But then beyond this of fact, I want to challenge you. Go for knowledge. Go for light. Get Christian. Find out who you are in Christ. All these ones you are pursuing, it's not as important as what I'm sharing with you. Learn Jesus. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bible every day. That's why we listen to teachings. That's why we read good books. That we may know again and again what He has given us in Him. So all these songs we are singing when we are starting, singing about the love of Jesus, singing what He has done, singing what He has done for us, all of those things is revelation knowledge. May you know. Are you getting the point? May you understand. May you understand. One last thing. Give me Ephesians 1 verse 17. We are going to pray it. Give it to me with maybe your translation. We're going to pray it. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight that you may grow in your knowledge of God. Lift your hands. Pray that prayer. Just 1 minute before we close. I receive understanding. I receive revelation. Revelation knowledge. Who I am in Christ. Pray from your heart. What God has done. Pray it with intensity. The same way you would have prayed if you are about to cast out devils. That I may come to much more realization of who I am in you. And what you have made available for me in you. That my eyes will be open to understand what you have worked out for me. That I have understood. I wish I had time to tell you stories. This set of prayers changed my life literally. I prayed it and I still pray it every day. That my eyes be open. Put up Amplify Classic on the screen. That my eyes be open. Pray. Pray. That God will grant me wisdom and revelation. Insight. Into the knowledge of Him. That I may understand. What He has worked out for me. What He has made available for me. That unsearchable riches. That I may begin to unveil it gradually. Gradually. That I may see the length of it. The breadth of it. The depth of it. The width of it. That my eyes be open. Even if you don't understand what they are praying, please pray. God knows what they are asking for. You may not know the weight of the prayer you are praying. You may not know the weight of the prayer you are praying. But pray it. Paul said he prayed these prayers every day for all the churches we read. This is another day to pray it for yourself.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, they grant your heart desire. And from here, your life will begin to change.
Many struggles you have in your life, I know what you lack is revelation. You don't know, but I know. I'm praying for that at the risk of fact, your eyes will open. You will see what you must know that will push you to your next level. You will see what you must see that will take you to your next height. In the name of Jesus. Say, me say, clarity is mine. Say, it is given to me to understand the things of the kingdom. Say, I'm not ignorant. I have light. I have revelation. And I grow more and more in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Were you blessed this morning?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.